Did you ever wonder, since Jesus is the Son of God and possesses all those omnis, omnipotent, capable of all power, and omniscient, capable of knowing all, and omnipresent, unlimited by space or time, why he still carries his wounds? Think about that for a minute. Jesus made wine out of water, calmed the storm, and cast out evil spirits, healed a leper and then later on 10 lepers, brought paralyzed limbs back to life, and did a walk-by healing of the blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho, healed a blind man in Bethsaida with mud and spit, and raised his friend Lazarus back to life from a 3-day-old death. Why would Jesus come back resurrected and with the help of Thomas illuminate his wounds? Why not return in a perfect body? Richard Rohr worried about that too, wondering if Jesus is trying to tell us he is human, which means to be wounded and yet resurrected at the same time. Jesus returns to his physical body, and yet he is now unlimited by space or time, that omniscience that I started out with, and is without regret or recrimination. Now, it is true that we humans learn best through the power of symbol and story. Have you ever heard of kintsugi? It's a Japanese art form that dates back to the 15th century. Has anybody heard of this art form, kintsugi? It symbolizes embracing a flawed or imperfect vessel. Because usually when ceramic gets damaged, we either toss it into the trash or we never use it again. But in the art of kintsugi, the damage is repaired with gold or silver, not just mending the cracks, but drawing attention to them and beautifying them. Christy Bartlett wrote in The Aesthetics of Mended Japanese Ceramics, "Not only is there no attempt to hide the damage, but the repair is literally illuminated. The vicissitudes of existence over time, to which all humans are susceptible, couldn't be clearer than in the breaks, the knocks, and the shattering to which ceramic ware, too, is subject. The precious metals highlight the damage rather than disguise it. It's a strong symbol that shows the value of the journey rather than its perfection. Broken vessels have purpose." So a few years ago, my boss at the Denver Art Museum, a master carpenter, was making this beautiful cabinet to hold Dremel and drill bits in the shop. It was a labor of his love, and it took him months to complete, working on it here and there on his break and lunch hours. He spent hours and hours on this beautifully veneered cabinet. And as he worked, a knot fell out of the wood. Now, he could have redone that panel so that it was sheer perfection. But surprisingly to me, he didn't do that. Instead, he carefully removed the debris from where the knot used to be, and he mixed and he stirred and he poured bright red lacquer into the wound in the wood, drawing attention to it. So I asked him at the time, why draw attention to that knot? Why not redo the panel so the cabinet has no flaws at all? Wasn't that the goal as carpenters and artists and craftsmen to craft as close to perfection as we could? But do you know what this master carpenter said? "I could do that," he said, "start over and redo the panel. But the life of the wood is reflected through its knots and its grain. Years of drought, years of rain, each mark in the wood reflected the life of the tree. And I'd rather this cabinet reflect that than a false idea of the perfection of my skill as a carpenter." And I didn't understand it at the time, but I realize now in retrospect that he wanted us to see the wounds in the wood. Why else would he have used bright red lacquer? There was once a little woman who lived in England in the 13th century. She lived in a little anchorite cell that had one very small window that was attached to the outside wall of Norwich Cathedral on the riverside. Her name was Julian, and she believed that our wounds are our glory. So I wonder if Jesus was trying to teach the disciples, those scared and broken and huddled men who were cowering behind locked doors, was he trying to show them not to be ashamed of brokenness by revealing his own? Was he trying to teach them to learn to forgive, to see beyond their own failings and those of others? Because after seeing him die on the cross like that, Jesus knew they'd forget everything he taught them. He knew they'd be cowering and afraid of what tomorrow might bring for them. He knew they needed a powerful symbol to show them the way through fear. He knew the way was not around the cross, but through it. Jesus came back with his fatal wounds in full view, gaping nail holes in his wrists and his ankles, a deep gash in his side big enough for Thomas to put his fingers inside. Our Savior. Jesus so shows this body of Christ here today, his body, so that we might come to see that the way through fear is to illuminate the breaks and the knocks and the shatterings that add beauty to the vessels of our lives, enriching our community by the lives we have led. We may try hard to be perfect, but my friends, perfection is a false god, and it will not bring us love or amazing grace or world peace or courage for tomorrow. Jesus knew the body of Christ he'd called in those frail and cracked vessels called the disciples weren't perfect. He knew they were broken and cracked and scarred, and he called them to his side anyway. He knew in the end they would be afraid. He loved them beyond the grave and back again. He knows every wound and scar we carry, all those breaks and chips we try to hide behind culturally accepted veneers of perfection and competence and success. He showed us that the scars we carry here in the body of Christ illuminate lifetimes of the holy miracles of love and listening and presence. Maybe the miracle isn't just that a wounded Jesus came back from the dead. Maybe the miracle is that the wounded body of Christ is resurrected here every day through you and me, the body of Christ. Maybe the miracle is that you and I will come to see the wounds in ourselves and in each other with eyes of love. And just like Japanese artists and talented carpenters, we'll mend them with the precious metals of patience and kindness, resurrecting them back into the sacredness of community. Because isn't that, after all, the body of Christ?